What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, John Kegley, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, John, we don't have any news today, but there is news that the Chargers are playing tomorrow against the Seahawks, the dress rehearsal game, week three of the preseason. So on today's show, we're going to be covering what we're going to be looking for on the defensive side of the ball, what players are going to stand out, who we're going to see. I know Anthony Lynn today said that they're sticking to the plan of most of their starters not playing, but I think there's a lot of questions like what will we see out of Jerry Tillery and other guys that could step up in this game and make their case for a roster spot. And then in the second segment, we're going to be talking about the Chargers offense. Who of these receivers is going to step up? Dontrell Inman was at practice today. Which one of those other guys, Andre Patton, Artavis Scott, Jeremy Davis, can we get a good game out of any of them? And other questions as well. And then to wrap the show up, we're going to be going to back to something that we did last season during the regular season and do some bold predictions. So we'll be focusing on some of the younger guys, some of the more long shot players to make the roster and talk about which of them we expect to possibly have a really good game in week three and put their name on the map as a guy trying to make this roster. So, John, let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about the Chargers defense. And there's a lot of questions right now on this Chargers defense. I'm excited to see how they line up this week. We heard today that Casey Hayward has asked Coach Anthony Lynn if he can play on Saturday. So I'd be guessing he's going to play. But as far as the rest of the starters on defense, I don't know if we're going to see all of them, John, because Anthony Lynn is basically saying, hey, you're probably not going to see a lot of the starters, even though we expect Justin Jones to start. He's been out there. Adrian Phillips. I mean, we've even seen on the offensive side of the ball, Mike Williams has played a good amount of snaps this preseason. So what do you expect to see from the Chargers defense, and what are you looking for from them this week?
I'm looking to see how our linebackers face against the Seahawks running backs. There's some of them that have been injured and some of them are coming back, but I want to see how they do against their running backs. They've got some pretty thin quarterback depth on the Seahawks side, so it's probably going to be a lot of running the ball. If they do pass the ball, it's going to be Geno Smith or JT Barrett, so not much talent going around there. So right. The running game is probably going to be where the Seahawks go, and I got to see if these linebackers can tackle, fill the hole, pursuit angles, because we didn't have really good pursuit angles against the Saints when they came to running outside of the tackle. So I got to see if they improved on that, if they can actually make better effort at tackling. And I also want to see how our corners are able to stick with these wide receivers that they have. Like you mentioned before the show, when we were talking Gary Jennings, there's also Keenan Reynolds, who's a nice little speedy, elusive guy. So guys like that, I want to see how they handle against those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest questions right now for this game is Russell Wilson going to play? Because that would give you a much better look at what you're trying to see. I mean, if you have Russell Wilson going out there and you have him doing what he does, being super elusive in the pocket, obviously a very accurate passer, if he's out there, it's a totally different game, because I think that gives you a really good look and it actually shows you what these guys up front can do. And the last four seasons, he has played into the third quarter, Russell Wilson has. So he's played at least one series into the second half in every third preseason game over the last 4 years. But John, this season has been a lot different. There's many more teams that are just holding up basically all of their really good players out. The Chargers have been one of them. I mean, we haven't seen Joey Bosa. We haven't seen Phillip Rivers. We haven't seen Mike Pouncey. They're holding out their really key members and letting most of the younger guys play. Thomas Davis is another guy. So if Russell Wilson, John, is out there, that's going to be a good test for this defensive line, because we've seen them get a lot of penetration, but a lot of times they're getting penetration and guys are going underneath them. So they're going to have to be very disciplined in this game. But with the Seattle offensive line, which has not been good, they're going to have a lot of chances to stand out in this game. But Russell Wilson can take your really good opportunity and make you look stupid with it.
Yeah, absolutely. They're already going to be down DK Metcalf, their draft pick this year at wide receiver, who is really talented, was really a big guy who made a lot of noise with his big muscular photos at the combines. So without him being around, you're not going to get to see a real test as far as the wide receiver position goes. But if Russell Wilson at least plays, he can extend the play. He can move outside the pocket and do those kind of things. So now it becomes, how good are you as a corner or a linebacker if you're in coverage at maintaining your coverage for longer than the 3 or 4 seconds that you're responsible for at the beginning of a play? Because once a quarterback breaks out of that pocket, it becomes really hard to keep your coverage. If you can stay covered for 5, 6, 7 seconds, you get a chance to make this team. If you're a defensive lineman and you're able to keep outside contained and keep Russell Wilson in the pocket and not let him get outside you, you're going to have a chance to make this team. But if you screw up any of that, you're probably going to be on the outside looking in.
Well, depending on who's out there, too. I mean, if Justin Jones loses contain on Russell Wilson, I think he's safe. But for a lot of these fringe players, you know, guys like Anthony Lanier, guys like Chris Peace, who returned to practice today, so we'll see if we see him. But maybe a guy like Isaac Rochelle can continue on what people have said is a very strong camp and get a couple of sacks in this game. Maybe guys like that can show up. Uchenna Nwosu is not a guy we're looking for in this game because he probably won't play. He got hurt this week in practice. He got hurt last week in the game against the Saints, and he has practiced a little bit this week, but it's Uchenna Nwosu. He's been super impressive, and even though he's played into the third quarter of these preseason games, I know they know he is super important, and they definitely want to do everything they can to keep him healthy. I mean, there's no point in playing a guy like that if you don't have to, especially if he's nursing some kind of injury. So what that injury is has been more confusing because you've seen reports that it's abdominal soreness, and then you see reports that his upper thigh is wrapped up. So we're still waiting to get more on that, but obviously getting him healthy is most important. John, anything else that you're looking for to see out of this defense this week or any player specifically?
Well, I want to see the safeties. I'm not talking just Adrian Phillips and Rayshon Jenkins. I mean, they might play a little bit, but I'm not worried about them. I want to see who's going to be the backups this year. Who's going to step up? With Derwin James being out most of this year, somebody's going to make this team as the backup safety. And Nazir Adderley returning to practice is a good thing, but he's not going to play. So somebody else is going to be having a good shot at either making the practice squad. So that if Adderley gets hurt again, we'll have another guy. We got to find out who these safeties are going to be. It's going to be a long year with that bunch right there. And plus, you're going to have to use somebody as your dime linebacker type person, whether it's going to be a linebacker like Kazir White that takes that role or whether they use somebody that's a safety in that role. We got to figure out what these guys are made of.
Yeah, and see what you have also in Jalen Watkins, a guy that in practice they moved Adrian Phillips to that dime linebacker role. Jalen Watkins was at strong safety, and then Rayshon Jenkins was at free safety, which seems a little mixed up, but I think you might see some looks like that, and I would like to see what he looks like as well. And I hope a guy like Roderick Teamer, who might have an injury right now, I don't think he was able to practice, but I was really excited to see what he could do. And then maybe a guy like Drew Tranquil, John, we were talking about a dime linebacker. He's a guy that could fit somewhat in that mold. I'm a former safety playing linebacker. He could probably carve himself out a role. He had a very strong week one, had an okay week two, but I want to see hopefully some more of Drew Tranquil and get more excited about Drew Tranquil again, because he had a little bit of a quiet week, but I think he's another guy that I'd like to see more of this week, and hopefully he can show off. But we do have to get into the defensive side of the ball. We do have to get onto the offensive side of the ball, talk about these wide receiver battles, talk about if any of these tight ends can finally show up and do something this week. There's a lot of questions on the offensive side of the ball, and even though we probably won't see Phillip Rivers, there's many battles still going on. But first, I need to tell you guys, that moment when your sweatpants are on for the day, but you're sick of microwave leftovers and frozen food, all you have to do is enter DoorDash to get restaurant-quality food with a living room dress code. If you've had a long day at work, guys, DoorDash is the place for you. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is super easy with the DoorDash app. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite one too. I know I have. I use DoorDash all the time, guys, and a lot of the places that you already like to eat are on there, like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when they use the promo code Locked on the DoorDash app. That's Locked On, all caps. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and use promo code Locked On, one word, all caps. Don't forget, guys, that's promo code Locked On for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. All right, John, time to get into the second segment of the day, talking about the Chargers offense and what we expect to see in week three of the preseason against the Seahawks. There's a lot of question marks about this offense right now, John, mainly revolving around the offensive line and how the Chargers are going to put forth an average offensive line this season, because we haven't seen that so far in the preseason. We've seen a lot of the guys we project to be starters, especially in the absence of Russell Okung, out there on the field and not performing well in the preseason, mostly against B lineups from the other team. I mean, they didn't face Cam Jordan last week, you know, so they're playing against not the best guys. They're still not exactly showing up, but we have seen a lot from a guy like Dan Feeney has improved. Forrest Lamp has improved. So, John, in this game, I'm looking forward to seeing if we can continue to see progression from those players right now. Are we going to see more of Forrest Lamp? I mean, he's played a ton of snaps the last 2 weeks. Do you think that we see a lot of Forrest Lamp this week? And do you think we see a little bit more of that understanding coming together for him as he starts to put it all together going into the regular season?
I think you're going to see a lot of Forrest Lamp. You might see another three quarters of him, I think. And I know you're probably going to say maybe two quarters, I'm guessing, but I think he's going to play around three quarters. He still needs to get into game shape. He still needs to get the mindset and his ability to adjust to the game going. There's a lot of things he needs to work on, so he needs all the reps he can get. As far as the rest of the guys on the offensive line, they might play maybe two quarters, maybe a little bit more, because they have a lot of work they need to get done as well. There's a lot of molding that needs to get done as far as chemistry goes. Footwork that needs to get worked on, a.k.a. Trent Scott. There's a lot of strength that needs to be built, a.k.a. Sam Tevy. I expect them to play a lot. I don't think they have much going for them with the backup offensive linemen, so I don't think they really want to play them much. They want to get the starters as much reps as possible. And I think if you get those guys going, I want to see how our running backs do. I got to see if Tremaine Pope can actually break some runs that don't get called back this game as far as holding. The penalties have got to be fixed this game. I know it's preseason and there's a bunch of scrubs, but Sam Tevy is getting a lot of holding calls, and he's a starter, so I got to see these holding calls go down.
Yeah, we have to see much better performance, especially as far as not having penalties with the Chargers offensive line, because that absolutely destroyed them in the last game and really is hurting the other players trying to make a case on the rest of the offense too. I mean, Easton Stick couldn't get a drive going last game, and it was a lot of dumb penalties, holding calls, things like that, and just a lot of sloppy play from the offense in general, but mostly the offensive line. And we saw, you know, guys like Trey Pipkins play a lot in the last game, Spencer Drango on the field. I think we'll see a lot of those guys in the second half, because John, with all the starters that aren't getting played, I mean, most of these guys are going to be starters on the offensive line, and they're all playing a lot of snaps. So I wouldn't have guessed Forrest Lamp was going to play more than two quarters in this game necessarily, but I wouldn't have expected him to play every single snap in the opener either. So I think we could see a lot of Forrest Lamp, but at some point, John, this coaching staff has to realize, hey, even if we're still a little unsure on Forrest Lamp, who else has stood out to take that spot? I mean, no one. So they don't have a better option right now anyways. So I expect him to get snaps, because I think he does need them as he works his way back. But at the same time, the Chargers should be a little bit careful with this offensive line, because they've already had Russell Okung go out. They can't afford to lose another player, and there's a lot of starters playing meaningful snaps. But speaking about guys who could potentially get playing time this year, the wide receiver battle has been super convoluted. Even last week, when you saw some guys stand out, they were still all kind of standing out, so it was hard to separate themselves from the others, because they all had pretty good games, with Artavis Scott going 4 for 64, Patton going 4 for 62. And this week, John, it's going to be another week of evaluation of which one of these guys is going to stand out. So this week, one of these receivers is going to have another big game to really put his case together, because last week was kind of a push with all of the guys having pretty good games.
It was, and I was surprised to see Andre Patton put up that good of a game. We've mentioned him a few times in the show of maybe he could be in the battle, but it's really Jeremy Davis and Artavis Scott, and then here comes Patton with a touchdown catch and a really tough catch while being heavily guarded while falling. he basically put himself on the map now as, hey, I'm still part of this battle too. Don't be counting me out. But Jeremy Davis is just so inconsistent. I got to see him actually put up what Patton was putting up, what Artavis Scott put up. I got to see that kind of performance for me to start believing Jeremy Davis again, because I'm starting to think he's only going to make the roster just because of Anthony Lynn's ability to have faith in a guy like he does with Sam Tevi and all these other guys, Cardale Jones. I think that's the only way Jeremy Davis is making this team. But Artavis Scott, with being special teams and catching the ball, I think is already in the lead as far as it goes. But if Patton puts up another catching performance like that, I think he might be taking over a role here. I want to see some of the guys that are lower down the depth chart. Like, I haven't got to see much of Smallwood or Dupree or any of those guys. I got to see if we're going to have some practice squad guys on here. We got to see what they're made of too, even if they have Tyrod Taylor or Easton Stick, whoever the quarterback's going to be for them. We got to see them step up too.
The Chargers need the quarterbacks to step up to see what they have in these young wide receivers. But that's a guy I was going to bring up, is Malachi Dupree. Maybe he can show something this game and kind of throw his name into the conversation. But there's a lot of wide receivers, Justice Liggins, Smallwood, even Jason Moore is still around somewhere. Maybe he decides to wake up and they give him a few targets in this game. But I think that's the other thing, John, is what we're going to see from the quarterbacks. Can they put it in these receivers' hands? Can they make one of these tight ends stand out? Hopefully, I mean, that's another thing. This tight end group is still nothing as well. I mean, we haven't seen anything. Vince Mail, Ben Johnson, or even Sean Colkin has had one catch in Easter the first two games. Andrew Vollert looked like the best tight end so far, and he's out for the season with a torn ACL. So, and then the other thing is can Easton Stick have a bounce back game? Can we get excited about Easton Stick again? Can the Charger fans get excited about Easton Stick again? Do you think he has a bounce back game in this one if he gets the reps?
I can see him definitely having a bounce back game in here, but it's really on the offensive line. If the offensive line blocks, then I think the quarterbacks have a chance to show themselves. I think if Easton just has some blocking, that doesn't have to be perfect blocking. It doesn't have to be Tom Brady pocket-like blocking. It just has to be enough for him to step back, look, and throw. Because last game, he was step back, look, hit in the face. It wasn't even fair. He had to hurry up and scramble out of the pocket every time. Sometimes when he had a guy open and he was looking that way to throw it, I saw sometimes where he had a great read and I saw him looking right at an open guy who did his route good. But then as he throws the ball, he's hit as he throws and the ball flies to the ground 5 yards ahead of him. It's not fair to the QB. So it's if the offensive line blocks. If the offensive line doesn't block, it doesn't matter what the quarterback does. He's going to be throwing incomplete passes or getting hit as he throws. But here's the real thing. If we see the quarterbacks make their own time, even if nobody gets open, you have to throw the ball out of bounds. Well, is that going to inspire you, Wade, that someone belongs on the team? Like, if Cardale Jones is able to actually roll out of the pocket, make time, and then sees nobody open and throws it out of bounds, is that going to give you confidence that Cardale Jones had a good game?
I mean, it's not that specifically. I'm more worried about what Cardale is doing in the pocket and how he's making his progressions, and can he show touch with that big arm? I know we know he has a cannon, but can he show the touch and the finesse to be an NFL quarterback? That's what I'm more focused with. I mean, by the time any of these guys gets meaningful reps, unless Phillip Rivers gets hurt, then it's Tyrod Taylor. But for Cardale Jones or Easton Stick, these are guys that aren't going to play for a few years. Not that I expect the offensive line to be better, because I've expected it to be better for a long time and then to put resources in it, but it's going to be an entirely different team. So with a guy like Cardale Jones, I just want him to look like a competent quarterback and a guy that can take some pressure in the face and deliver a big throw like he did last week to Andre Patton on the 24-yard touchdown and be able to throw a strike off his back foot and make good decisions and not turn the ball over. I mean, those are the things I'm looking for Cardale Jones. And the same with Easton Stick. And if any of those guys is going to, you know, have a play breakdown and make something out of it, out of the two of them, Easton Stick is definitely the more likely guy and the guy that also lets you use those read options in your playbook as well. So out of those two guys, I mean, I think Easton Stick fits more of what they want to do, but Cardale looked really good last week. So we'll see what he can put together this week. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about bold predictions, a segment we haven't done since last season. We're going to talk about some guys that can maybe make a splash in week three of the preseason, coming up right after the break. All right, John, time to get into the final segment of the week, and it's going to be us doing some bold predictions offensive and defensively for the Chargers in the week three game against the Seahawks. Maybe some guys lower on the depth chart. I mean, I'm not going to pick, you know, Mike Williams to have two touchdowns in this game, even though I do think he might see some snaps. But, John, let's start with the defensive side of the ball. who is a player that you're looking for this week to maybe have a breakout game that we haven't heard a lot from so far?
Well, I'm not going to say we haven't heard a lot from him because he has made some noise, but I think Anthony Lanier might actually get a couple of sacks in this game. I'll go 2 sacks and maybe 3 tackles for a loss in this game.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I thought about using Anthony Lanier. I also thought about using a guy like Isaac Rochelle, who has played against the big boys and now gets a chance to go up against a potentially very bad offensive line with Seattle and him have a couple sacks. But I like Anthony Lanier a lot. He does have a problem, John, of getting a little bit too far upfield. I mean, he's manhandled. Yes. I mean, he's gotten past guys very easily and very quickly at times. But especially if, you know, if Russell Wilson's in there, you're going to have to stay very disciplined and stay on that edge and make sure he's not getting outside of you. I mean, he might make you look stupid anyways, but at least if you're doing the right thing and you go about it the right way, it won't really be held against you too much. But I really like that call on Anthony Lanier. So defensively, I'm going to go with a guy that hasn't had his name show up a lot this preseason, but last year he was the talk of the defense, and that's Brandon Faison. We haven't heard a lot from Brandon Faison, John. Last year, we heard a lot about him, and he did enough to make the team. And since then, I mean, he's been behind a pretty good trio of cornerbacks and Michael Davis, Casey Hayward, and Desmond King. But we haven't heard a lot from him this preseason. I'm going to say that he has 4 tackles, and he gets a pick 6 and has another pass defensed in this game. And we start talking about Brandon Faison again.
That's an interesting one because I've seen a few times where he completely missed his assignment in the game. And I'm like, where's the Brandon Faison from last year, man? This isn't the guy I remember saying, oh, he can make the team. He's showing a lot of hype. So I'd like to see him get back on track. I like that pick, especially as you threw in the pick 6. That's an interesting call.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get a pick, you want to take him back to the house. I think he's a guy that could do it. I think he's a guy that has some skills. I mean, we've seen him show up at certain points, but it's definitely been a slower camp for him. I kind of liken him to a guy like Tre'Davious Newsome, John, who last year had a really exciting preseason, did enough to make the roster over Justin Jackson, and then this year has come out a little bit slower. So I think he's kind of had a Tre'Davious Newsome-esque type of fall this year. But hey, it's the preseason. They don't take too much out of these games. And one thing we know, John, look at Cardale Jones. Things can turn around so quickly in the preseason. I mean, you can be a scrub 1 week and be the talk of the town next week, or the opposite. Look at Easton Stick. Everyone was on the Easton Stick hype train after week one and before week one. And those guys got a lot quieter after Cardale Jones put that, you know, couple of drives together, put that touchdown to Andre Patton in the air. And things can change very quickly. So let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball. I really wanted to go Troy Maine-Pope here just to piss you off, but I'll wait and see who you go with for your first offensive bowl prediction of the year.
Well, I was going to go Troy Maine-Pope. But, I mean, if you want to have him, you can have him.
Go for it. Go for it. I want to hear what you got.
All right. Well, I'm going to say that all of the planets align and there's not as many holding calls, and it allows Troy Maine-Pope to go for about 60 yards rushing and a couple of touchdowns in this game. And I think he does another big punt return, probably not for a touchdown, but it's at least going to be a big return to around like the 20.
Okay. I mean, I think if you can put two of those together, I'm two, you know, breakaway punt returns, I think that goes a lot in your favor. And I mean, even as a running back, I think he's done pretty well for himself in getting this coaching staff's attention. I mean, he had a live press conference today. You weren't seeing live press conferences of Troy Maine-Pope earlier in the season. And this is a guy who's been grinding, trying to make his way into the league for a little while now. So I hope it works out for him because he's been a pretty good player so far. Since you went Troy Maine-Pope, I mean, I like Troy Maine-Pope almost as much as you do. I've been excited by what I've seen. You were just a little bit earlier to the party than I was. But I'm going to go with Malachi Dupree, a guy that we saw make a couple big catches in the first game from Easton Stick, and we haven't heard a lot from yet. I think if the Chargers get close to the red zone, he's going to be a target, especially for those second string receivers. You know, after Mike Williams goes out, third string receivers, I think Malachi Dupree is a guy who can show up. Hey, maybe we see a little bit of Jason Moore. No, I can't be on the Jason Moore train anymore. I've tried for too long. So I'm going to go Malachi Dupree gets 5 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown in this one.
Wow. 72 yards and a touchdown for a guy who's barely getting even one catch a game. That's a big jump. And if he gets that, we're going to have four wide receivers we're going to have to talk about for the 49er game.
Has to be bold, right? Wade, I mean, he's averaging 1.5 catches per game so far.
Wade's out here trying to create more controversy with the wide receivers with that one. You'll be coming here going, well, now we have four guys trying to make this team. Who do we have that makes it?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're assuming, too, that Dontrell Inman's already on the roster for the most part. So that would make things very interesting. I mean, I'd love to come out here and tell you I think Sean Colkin's going to get four catches for 46 yards and a touchdown. I just don't think it's going to happen. Do I hope it happens? Yes.
Whoever ends up making this roster as a tight end is probably going to be making it as a run blocker.
Not even I am bold enough to make that bold prediction. So
not bold enough to make Tyler Newsome throw six touchdowns in this game either.
All right, that's where we wrap things up. Things have officially gotten out of control. All right, guys, we will talk to you next week. That's going to do it for us this week. Until then, guys, until we're back on Monday with the recap of this game against the Seahawks, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and give us your thoughts during the game and tweet to us about things that you see and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. All of our fans have told us that's the easiest way. Sometimes the links don't work on Facebook or Twitter, but if you subscribe, you will always get the show and you'll get it before everyone else. So make sure you do that wherever you can get podcasts. The Locked On Chargers podcast will be there. And also, guys, if you want to give us your thoughts on the game, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924. Every voicemail that we receive gets played in your own voice on the show. So make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail. But we'll be back with you next week, guys. Going to have a lot to talk about, so make sure to tune in with us then. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.